In the name of our Epiphany light, Jesus, amen. Our text is the lesson read with attention to these words. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, panim el panim, and who did all the miraculous signs and wonders. Yesterday, we reflected on Melanchthon. Today, the text points us to Moses. What do you think of when you think of Moses? I posed that question to an adult Bible class, and immediately one of the women said, Charlton Heston. And then one of the men said, the Ten Commandments, the law. And with a little more time, episodes from Moses' life emerged, his miraculous deliverance from Pharaoh's design to kill Hebrew boys, his leading of the Exodus, and other events. But what about you? When you hear the name Moses, what comes to your mind first and foremost? Let me suggest it should be the gospel, Jesus. Consider these features of Moses' character. It was Moses who described the first Adam so that we might know who we are and understand the second Adam. It was Moses who tells us about the woman seed, Seth's seed, Shem's seed, Abram's seed, Isaac's seed, Jacob's seed, Judah's seed. That is about Jesus. It's Moses who shares those gracious theophanies to the patriarchs and to himself. It's Moses who establishes the rich sacramental system of the Old Testament. Circumcision, the Passover, the priesthood, and the Levitical sacrificial system that permitted the very real presence of God, his glory, to dwell in the tabernacle, to dwell with sinful people because of that sacrificial system, even as the sacrifice of our Paschal Lamb, Christ, permits God to graciously dwell with us. It was Moses who taught Israel and us in Deuteronomy that nothing in our nature merited God's affection, but it was out of his gracious character that he chose them and us in Christ. All of this, and indeed much more, from one who regarded himself a poor student in homiletics. He thought he couldn't speak. And a one who thought he didn't have the charisma. He couldn't lead a parish, let alone these people. All of this and much more from one who shares with us his failures, his disappointments, and his grand failure at Kadesh, which prevented him from entering the Promised Land. In, with, and under Moses' weakness, however, we see one who was chosen and called and shaped by God to be his prophet par excellence. No other prophet had such credentials. Indeed, the life of Moses is the story of God's gracious presence. It's all about God. Over and over and over, God shapes and forms Moses' life to reveal his character to his people. Defined by God, speaking with him face to face, intimately. This was what life was to be like for man and woman in the garden. Moses experiences that face to face communication unlike the other prophets. This relationship was the source the prior ground of these mighty and wondrous deeds that God performed through his servant. And if you look carefully, you'll see in Moses not the law, not sovereignty, but a profound, a deep, an enduring love for the God who had called him. And he loved not only God, but he loved that wayward, that often sinful people that God had sent him to. When God finally had enough, remember the golden calf rebellion where they tried to mimic the Egyptian god Apis? And God said, okay, Moses, I'm going to destroy this people. I'll raise up for you a new people. What does Moses do? He says, no, take my life. He puts himself in the breach. That is a remarkable statement of his character and his affection for God and his people. All of this naturally flows to the great promise in Deuteronomy of the eschatological prophet, where we read, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command. You are called, I would suggest, to similar communion in your worship and study here at the seminary. You are called to be in communion with God so that you can go to this world and speak his name rightly and lovingly. It is a high and noble calling that you have. It's all a gift, even as Moses' calling was a gift to him. Indeed, it could be argued that your gifts are even more wonderful. You are joined to Christ's death and resurrection in your baptism, a miracle greater than the Exodus. You receive Christ's very body and blood in the Eucharist, and you hear the living voice of Jesus through his prophets and apostles. Such beauty, such wonder, Moses could only prophesy about. You have received it. And by God's grace, you will proclaim his saving presence now in the fullness of Christ. As we prayed in the hymn, come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. What a calling you have to sing about what you yourself have experienced, the grace of God in Christ. The world needs people like you. In fact, a recent study of the professions by the Carnegie Foundation says that our culture is suffering because we've lost the nobility of those who serve well. For example, they've said what we need now are doctors who think more about the patient than about procedures. That we need attorneys that think more about justice than about billable hours. And that we need clergy who understand and can communicate the mystery and the wonder of God rather than being managers and leaders of social gatherings. Precisely. We are here and we live because we worship and confess the living God, the Blessed and Holy Trinity. And God has called us to confess him in word and in deed, displaying by his grace that the love of God, when authentic, is embedded for a love of God's people and for our neighbor. You are called to teach the faithful, to reach the lost, and to care for all. And with this grand and gracious gift, God has given you a life that will be defined as Moses' life by his continual presence. May God grant us such lives by his grace in Christ. And finally, Luke 24:27, Jesus with the Emmaus disciples. Jesus said, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Ta peri heato. When you think of Moses, think of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.